to go. The NBA finals start Wednesday night with the Spurs hosting the Knicks. The Atlanta Falcons gave wide receiver Drake London a four-year contract extension worth $100 million guaranteed. The Steelers gave linebacker Nick Herbig a four-year extension. Seahawks pass rusher Derek Hall got a three-year extension, and the Broncos gave defensive back Patrick Surtain a pay raise. To Major League Baseball, the Reds came back for a 10-inning win over Kansas City 4-3, getting a solo homer in the eighth, a solo homer in the ninth, and then Cincinnati's game-winning single in the bottom of the 10th. Milwaukee won again, 8-3 over San Francisco. Kyle Harrison now 7-1. Texas won its fifth in a row. Seattle won its eighth straight. Late-night wins for the Dodgers in Colorado.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, on May 20th, Washington's beef community kicked off Beef Counts Summer Grilling by distributing 726 pounds of St. Helens ground beef, feeding 363 families. Washington's beef community has served folks across the state since 2010 through Beef Counts, uniting with organizations like Second Harvest in the fight against hunger. Second Harvest President Drew Muir says with this year's extra light food supplies, this beef is the essential nutrition our community need. Well, the U.S. Meat Export Federation wrapped up its spring conference with a discussion detailing innovative market strategies that have helped expand demand for U.S. red meat in Asia and Latin American markets. Panelists include USMEF Vice President Jihei Yang, who shared insights from Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan. The conference kicked off with a focus on the rapid growth of U.S. red meat exports to China, Saudi Arabia, and other key markets. And Frank Mitlohner, air quality specialist, professor, and director of the CLEAR Center at UC Davis, will be the new chair of the Department of Animal Sciences, which is the highest undergraduate enrollment in the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences. Dean Ashley Stokes called Mitlohner a distinguished member of the faculty who's had a significant impact on animal agriculture, environmental sustainability, and public engagement. MorningEclipse.com reports Mitlohner's appointment took effect June 1st.
Hello, everybody. This is Ty Thompson, Northern Livestock Video here at Billings. We just concluded our early bird sale. You can see all the results of that sale at northernlivestockvideo.com. Record-breaking prices on these calves. Our June sale comes up June 24th, the early summer special. If you want to be part of that sale, get your contract into us by June 5th. We can do the filming anytime over the next couple weeks after that. Early summer special for Northern Livestock Video. Call us at 866-616-5035 or go to northernlivestockvideo.com.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are losing ground after crude oil prices rose, with investors keeping watch on developments in the Iran conflict. Investors are also looking at the U.S. proposing new tariffs, at least 10% on dozens of partners. Those tariffs aim to replace those struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Chipmaker Marvell Technology shares are rallying again. That's after NVIDIA's CEO said this week that Marvell's stock market value could reach $1 trillion. Another discount chain is upbeat about this year. Ollie's Bargain Outlet says profit and sales rose 14% over a year ago in recent months. Its quarter topped expectations. Medtronic, which makes pacemakers and other medical devices, made a larger profit in its quarter, sales and earnings topping Wall Street forecasts. That is your Fox Business Report. I'm Angelo Bavaro, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Last January, the Chinese Information Service in New York released a report about a commencement address in Peking that should have had our ears burning. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction for architectural metal roofing and siding. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
With our own counterintelligence capability somewhat hamstrung as it has been recently, it's good to have friends. Intelligence sources in Taipei, the Free Republic of China, have made available excerpts of a speech made by Kung Piao, director of the Department for Foreign Liaison to the graduating class of the College of Foreign Affairs in Red China. The college is the training institute for diplomats. Kung's speech, like the Brezhnev speech I reported on a few weeks ago, was not for public dissemination, which is a polite way of saying it was supposed to be secret. His topic was a turning point in Sino-American relations. It might be well to note that while the name Kung Piao is not exactly a household word in America, he is very much a part of the policy-making process in the Chinese Communist Party. In his address, he was bluntly outspoken about the two superpowers, Russia and the United States. He said both were bent on aggression, and therefore the spearhead of Red China's struggle would be aimed at both. The fact that, for the moment, we're not being referred to as United States imperialists doesn't mean that Peking has forsaken or even softened on Marxist-Leninist principles, says Kung. According to Kung, the People's Republic of China is temporarily caught in a narrow crack between two imperialist camps. Yes, he calls the Soviet Union imperialist as well as aggressor. According to Kung, it would be unthinkable for his country to try to deal with the two imperialists at the same time. So the strategy is to temporarily, and we should permanently keep that word in mind, put their dispute with us aside so as to have one less enemy. He complained to the graduates that there were some revolutionary hotheads in their people's paradise who don't realize the United States, for all its vaunted power, has a soft, weak side, which they, the communists, can use to their advantage. Ah, to see ourselves as others see us. Kung explained that Peking, while recognizing our imperialism, could at the same time promote, for its own purposes, a friendly relationship with the United States. In perfect Mao Zedong language, he called this a policy of duality. Under this policy, they can denounce us for stationing troops in some lands, Taiwan for instance, and at the same time, with no self-consciousness, endorse our maintaining troops in Western Europe and the Philippines. This is called tactical flexibility. He admitted there was no hurry about taking back Taiwan. They simply accept that it belongs to them, and they don't mind our taking care of it for them for a while. But he made it plain that normal relations between the United States and Red China will not come about unless we withdraw our ambassador from Taiwan. On that point, he said, we haven't lived up to their expectations. but then went on to tell the students, quote, "Just wait for the opportune day. Then we'll tell Uncle Sam to pack up and leave," unquote. Before closing, he reaffirmed that the Soviet Union is the primary threat and détente is disturbing to Peking. More American leaders, he said, political, military, and social, would be invited to mainland China to keep us quiet and friendly until they can handle, quote, Soviet revisionist social imperialism, unquote. Then it will be our turn. That's something for us to keep in mind while our touring officials are mastering chopsticks. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. We're going to be talking about all things elections today. I have both Eric Gorham and Michael Aaron Woody in the studio. As most people know, Michael is ahead. We already also, and a number of candidates are going to call in. We already have one person on hold. Welcome to Sound Off. Oh. Well, that didn't last long.
I think they knew Michael came in and they were getting out of here.
Why exactly? It's like, oh, he's there.
I want to start a little bit by telling people a little bit about the election. And I have one big bone, and that's with the county clerk recorder. I expect her to win this election. This isn't an election issue. I have been covering the races for more than 20 years. We got our call coming back in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, this is Adam Verdon and Chuck Bell.
Thank you very much, Adam, for calling in. How do you, I know that you had tell us a little bit about what happened last night with your race and how you feel moving forward.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's I'm here with Chuck, and it's super early. It looks like it's a very close race, and so as a first-time person to ever run for office, I'm proud of the campaign we run, and I think we've worked really hard at getting our message out. And boy, it'd be nice to get these votes counted.
I was so shocked. One of the issues that really upset me last night. I've been doing this for a very long time, and mail-in ballots that have been, where the signatures have been approved, that came in before Tuesday, and were already sent over to the state by 5 o'clock and counted, and the names are listed by the state. Those are always counted on election night, and then the poll votes are counted. For some reason, she changed the way she reports things. She didn't even put percentages in the first count, and then she didn't separate the poll votes out, which has been done for at least, I think, 30, 40 years in this county. But then the interesting thing is, I got a statement off from the state about the count on Monday night of all the votes that have been sent in on ballots, the early mail-in ballots that have been ready to just run through the machine. It takes 10 minutes, okay? They were already approved. The signatures were approved. There were 54,000. When she counted the mail-in ballots, she didn't put, and then she counted the poll ballots, the poll votes, she came up with 35,000 total, and she isn't giving you the difference? Why didn't she count all the mail-in ballots that had already been ready just to put in the machine? I don't know what happened, and she still hasn't counted them.
Chuck Bell, it's a complicated question, and I think that it's something that that we're still looking at. But basically, the objective of the reporting system is to keep the public and the Secretary of State informed of the status of the returns and how the clerk is handling them. And you're right. Basically, the law allows the clerk to collect and process before the election ballots that are received, so that the ones that are properly processed, that is the all the information that would go to the validity of that vote, is accomplished, and those are batched. They're permitted to be batched outside of if they're vote by mail ballots, outside of precinct order, but precinct ballots are to be identified according to their precinct numbers, so that they can be tabulated at least electronically that way. So it's kind of a complicated process, Karen. I'm not familiar enough with the current data because it's a really fast-moving target, and we've been focused on getting the vote, urging people to vote, making sure they voted, and all of that as part of our election campaign. But something that we're looking at now.
And I know she doesn't have that many votes in, and as you know, before, when you had the Bruce Gibson race against Dr. Jones, there was close to 1,000 votes at this point, and Dr. Jones ended up being, I think, 12 or 14 votes behind. So this is still an ongoing race. Do you agree?
It's certainly an ongoing race, both in terms of dealing with the ballots that are in hand at the election department, as well as waiting for ballots to be received in the mail. The law attempts to provide an orderly process for doing that, and a reporting to the public of how that is going. So naturally, looking at the public information about how many ballots had been returned from voters to be processed, and then kind of being able to square that information with what is being submitted in the way of information on how votes have been cast, the returns that have been prepared as of 8 o'clock last night and to date. Is something that we're trying to watch very carefully and try to understand when there are discrepancies or apparent discrepancies that, cast a question about how this election's being conducted and for that matter, how any election is conducted. Is it fair and complete and accurate?
And Adam, how do you... how are you holding up? You had a little bit wider margin, and then you cut that down significantly last night. Jimmy Paulding is winning with 4,408 votes, and you are right behind him with 4,022 votes. But that's about 19% of the voters. So it's still way too early to know what's going to happen.
Well, I would certainly like the recent trend that and closing that gap, and hopefully that trend continues. It seems to parallel a little bit. We'll see if it parallels the pattern from 2022, where there is a huge gap, and then Lynn closed that gap, unfortunately not all the way through, but closed it substantially. So I think we're starting in a stronger position in that same time frame from 2022. So, as I say, we're cautiously optimistic of the outcome we would like to see.
And I think, I'm going to just add some color commentary here, because what I've noticed over probably the last 12 years is and this could all change, because I know this year the Dems were trying to get a late vote. They've made fun of the Republicans for doing it for years, and this year they actually used our strategy, and they've used a lot of our strategies this year, which I think is hilarious. And, but... you look at the last 12 years, these elections, there's usually at the opening night, the Dems up considerably. And sometimes that's thousands of votes. Sometimes it's hundreds. Generally, when it's been hundreds, the Republican can surpass the Dem as votes come in and during the voting process. If you really watch the project or what's happened in 12 years with our supervisors' races, that's exactly what's happened every 2 years as there's a catch up, just like you were talking about with Lynn. And I think personally, you know, my prediction is you do take this. You're so close already. I've never seen it not make up at least 1,200 votes. I think you got it.
Well, I hope you're right. As I say, we worked really hard and felt like we had a lot of support. So,
and I think you have the vote out there, Adam. From what I've heard, is District 4, and I actually saw a few things yesterday with the Democrats down there saying, basically begging their base to go out and vote because they were being beaten in the polls. More Republicans were turning out to vote. And that's actually, I've seen that data, but that was actually from the, South County or the Democrat South County Coalition or whatever it is. They were basically on social media asking people to vote because they were behind.
I did see that. Yeah.
And I don't think that was a bad move. I think getting the vote out is the smartest thing you can do in the last two or three weeks of the election. I think that's how you win. And I noticed in your district, so where I was looking at all the different districts, and you were up around 6,000, or no, at one point you were at 11,000 votes, according to one of the polls. Yeah, not polls, but one of the reports in your district. And most of the other three of them had around 10. And then for some reason, District 5 had around 4,000 something. So you guys appeared to really be getting the vote out.
Yeah, we worked very hard at getting the vote out on a lot of different fronts. Yeah. Our messaging was getting out the vote, both on our digitals space and our text messaging and direct contact with voters through calls. It was as soon as ballots dropped, we were after that piece.
Well, I think it'll be a very interesting over the next couple of weeks to see how you... how this whole thing ends and what happens. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are being looked at right now. And again, this voting, the voting issue here has been a little different, I think. There's been some oddities going on. The fact that the percentages weren't put in, the fact that they're now not putting in how many people voted at the polls. It's been very odd to change and take away things that have been given to the to the public for decades, and all of a sudden say, we're not going to tell you how this worked. I find it a bit, the lack of transparency out of the clerk recorder's office frustrating. I was frustrated last night when I was looking at the reports and a bunch of the data was missing. I thought, what are you doing this year?
Right. Well, certainly, the more data they can provide, the more confidence you have in the process. And when data is excluded, inherently, it fosters distrust of the process. I think that's that's not good, and that's not a good thing in an election.
No, it's not. It makes it harder when she's not processing the mail-in ballots that were received and already that were already processed. It just has to be run through again, you know, quickly, and they wait to do those later. I find it also takes away some public trust. We are usually either the last or second to the last in the last few years with Elaine Cano as a clerk recorder in getting our votes done. And it is kind of shocking to me. It appears to be no big deal if you don't find out for a while. And I think the public wants to know. I'm sure you want to know.
Yes. I mean, I think the data is out there. I think everyone knew there was an election coming along. And it seems like there would be preparation for it and planning for it. And part of that is, you know, a robust process for getting the information out there. And that part seems lacking.
Yes. And I'm hoping we get a lot of information into the next week. I think I got a letter email earlier today that we have 38 days before we'll really know. I think the quicker they get it in, it also gives you more chances to cure ballots. And I don't know why, with this low of voter turnout, why they don't get this done quickly and allow things to move forward.
Right. I agree.
And I want to thank both of you for calling in today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having us, and appreciate you guys taking the time to report on this.
Thank you. And Michael, you're doing very well.
Yes, I'm extremely tired, but yes.
We all look tired. We have three people in this room. I was up till 3:30, and I got up at 7. We all kind of have a look that is not, this is not a picture-perfect moment.
No, this is a pretty motley-looking group of people right now. Oh, yeah, we all slept 10 hours last night. Yeah, that really happened.
Oh, yeah, no, it's I think everybody I've talked to today sounds a little down. I think we're all just very tired.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And it's hard because you get up in a situation like this, and I'm extremely over the moon excited about what's going on in my race. But I'm also getting up and saying, wow, that's 2 hours of sleep. I've eaten a banana. I'm hungry. I'm tired. It's like, oh, I see statistics and numbers. Oh, that's really pretty. Pretty numbers. Like, oh, find me a pillow somewhere. That's terrible.
So let me ask you a question. What did you think when the numbers hit, the first two rounds came out, and you were in the lead?
A sense of relief, honestly. Look, we started this about a year ago, and I know last year when I started this, it was seen as a district, as it has been for 20 years now, that is a district that you can't win unless you're a Democrat or you registered as a party Democrat. You'll always, you know, and they'll win, quote, they will win always by 20 points or 20 some odd points every time. And I know a lot of people that looked at my race sat there and said, okay, I mean, this is good guys, smart, bright guy, whatever. And but you're going to lose. You know, it's just you just have no chance of all this whole thing. And I thought, no, you don't understand these areas. You don't understand my communities out here. So my biggest concern was I just didn't want to get to that first round of votes coming in and have it be, shoot, everybody was right. You know, the political pundits were right. I was just wrong. I wasted my time for last year and we're down by 1,500 votes or something like that. So when the first numbers came in and we were up by 100 votes,
102.
Yeah, 102. Yes. Not that Karen isn't a detail person, but yes, 102 votes. I was just absolutely over the moon because, look, when we vote in today's world, there's three sets of ballots that come in. You got the people who vote during the month of May, okay, or the month leading up to it, first 29 days. You have the people that vote on that day in person, the poll ballots. And then you have the third set. And the third set are the ones that are coming in right now via mail because they voted, they mailed everything in the last 24 hours or so.
But again, she didn't count probably tens of thousands, anywhere from 15 to 20 or 30,000 votes that were early mailed were not counted. She did, the state of California on Monday evening said, we've already counted. What they do is so you can check your ballots.
Right.
They had already processed 54,000 ballots at the state of California for early mail-in.
For Slo County. Right, right, right.
But here's the thing. Elaine Kano, after she counted the poll ballots and the early mail-in, only counted 35,000 ballots. And she's not putting the number of poll voters like she usually does. How did you get 54,000 early mail voters and you add that with the poll voters, and you lose 15,000.
I don't know. I've had that brought to my attention, and I wish I had an answer. I really don't know what happened with all that. But I know there is a discrepancy numerically with the state numbers and what we're doing here.
These are people that were already processed, that were given to the state so people could check if their ballots had been accepted. And I know you have to count the poll votes on election night. I do not know if you are required to count all the mail-in ballots, but it goes through a machine. It would have taken minutes. I have seen major elections get done by 8:20. You primarily know because all those ballots that were early mailed are counted.
Right.
And suddenly you have a very low turnout. And you can't count 35,000 ballots that you already processed?
Yeah, and that's something that we noticed last night, too, is that there wasn't that many votes processed at this point. So that's why, you know, two things came to my mind last night. Number one, I'm surprised we don't have higher total numbers overall, you know, for some of these races, you know, including District 2. But the other one that was a relief to me was, I spent a year of my life being told, you're wasting your time. And then I turned around and found out, hey, guess what? This is a race after all. We made a race out of something that was never supposed to be a race.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, Karen. It's Darsha. I thought I would just let you know there's a difference between when people receive a notice that says we have received, processed your ballot, and actually counted. So it takes 4 to 7, 7 to 10 days to process all the way through and count that ballot.
I'm talking about what the state of California said. We're processed. What they said was processed. Okay. Thank you very much for calling in. We're going to take a break. A word from our sponsors.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
The Central Coast Zoo's annual Ice Cream Zoofari is back. This Saturday, enjoy an unforgettable evening for all ages with all-you-can-eat ice cream, sundaes, and yummy toppings. Central Coast trains, music, and encounters with exotic animals from around the world. The Central Coast Zoo's Ice Cream Zoofari this Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. Tickets are available for pre-purchase online and include full zoo admission and unlimited sweet treats. For more info, go to visitatascadero.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I did look at the California Secretary of State website. They said that list of processed ballots is typically those voters are counted on Monday, that are received on Monday and processed by with the state. Those are typically counted on, it says the word typically will come out on Tuesday night, and that all poll votes will come out on Tuesday night. I'm going to read a couple things. I think both Adam and Michael will put it out, will poll it out. Their numbers will only go up from here. And then, love you, Michael. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Yeah, I think you could answer your own question about the discrepancy in the way the votes are being handled. Elena Kano is not Julie Rodewald. She is not Tommy Gong. Her job is to deliver for a very partisan base. Just complete corruption. And if I were to place a bet straight up, I would bet against Mr. Woody and Mr. Verdon. They're waiting to see where they stand. That's why they're not releasing information. I think one of your commentators online called it vote curing. Yeah. And they've got 38 days to cure the vote.
Vote curing means that if your signature doesn't match, when I'm talking vote curing, curing means they have a certain amount, a percent or two or three, that the people checking it don't think the signature match. As soon as she gets all the votes in, and suddenly she has a ton pulled out, hundreds and hundreds from each district, and if you go in and you cure those votes, you call Joe and you said, Joe, did you turn this in? They sign a certificate. That vote then counts. A lot of races are made by curing votes, but it's not cheating. Curing votes is that it's Somebody said the signature was wrong.
You'll usually use some kind of software like Votive or whatever, and you're going to call Republicans if you're a Republican, and if you're a Democrat, you're going to call Democrats.
Right.
And then if they say, oh, no, I voted for Woody, you go, oh, that's all we wanted to know, and you hang up real quick. I mean, you think I'm joking, but that's how it happens.
Yeah.
And I mean, the difference with Michael Aaron Woody, though, Michael, this is what's extraordinary about your race. You raised very... Michael came out with an idea that I'm only going to accept no donations over 500.
Right.
So you raised maybe one-tenth of what he raised?
One-fifteenth.
One-fifteenth.
Yeah.
So the money was on the other side. Plus you had number of... You had Don Ernst getting involved, and you had the wind energy people getting involved. Ton of money thrown against him, a ton of advertising, everything. And Michael Woody argued the issues, and you... You pulled it out arguing the issues and not throwing a ton of money.
No, exactly. I mean, I put together a 12-page brochure that taught community issues in our local communities up and down the coastline, because every one of these communities has its own unique problems. And we said, okay, this is what people are talking about at the neighborhood meetings when we get together for dinner and get together at the grocery store, at the coffee shops. We should be talking about these issues. So we put together the brochure like that. I had it put together, had them printed up. We went door to door, talked to people, and it just started with that basic idea. And lo and behold, everybody said, no, it's not how you do this. We're the professionals. This is how you're supposed to do it. You argue statistics and voter registration and do all the platitude stuff. And I kept saying, no, go. You need to live out here and see what's going on under local meetings and coffee shops to understand this. So we went out here and we did this. Everybody laughed at it. Everybody said, oh, you know, chances are just, we're going to, and predictions were coming out a week before from D'Antona's side, which was they're going to win by 12, 14 points. This is over. It's so over. It's over. And right now they're looking at the numbers saying, okay, we have a real problem on our hands. And they've been doing that for the last 30 days. I mean, we saw it with all the flyers that were mailing out and everything, but we just said, hey, stay focused, stay on point.
And were you surprised on the, the results this week? And I'm asking the caller.
I was surprised, but I don't think they're going to let it happen. They've got too much invested, you know, 15 times, and the wind energy companies control over the board, and I don't trust what goes on inside the clerk recorder's office. I think they're going to make it happen.
And thank you very much for calling in. I'm going to let them talk to this after I get you off the air. What do you think about that? Do you think it's...
Well, honestly, to me, what I've seen over the years, and I know probably for, 2020, there's been a lot of different talk, and I've been involved with campaigns that I think things were weird about. All I've ever been able to prove is incompetency by our county clerk. She's every election, she has dropped the ball where you didn't see a Rota Wall or a Tommy Gong ever drop those balls. And we've never seen any county clerk before this as partisan as she is. She is, you cannot tell me that woman is not partisan. She proves it over and over again. She makes, five to six major mistakes every election, and they're major mistakes. I mean, if you look, go back to the Jones campaign when they found all those votes and refused to let us watch them open.
They had them in a closet. They found, somebody found like three
I've
or
heard
four.
About this one. Yeah, this
but
was.
If you find votes, you call that campaign, both campaigns, and said, hey, we found these 2 weeks later. You need to get down here and watch us open them. They disallowed that.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of these stories, and then I heard that one, which was fascinating to me. Here's my thing, is that what I'm seeing a lot of and is we're seeing a lot of people who aren't willing to, let's say, come onto this show and to walk in here as a representative or even as a candidate, which you had to deal with and just sit here and say, let's go through and let's answer the questions.
Right.
You know, maybe we can clarify some of this, but a lot of them just walk away and say, you know what, I'm just not even going to answer questions. And it gets... Yeah.
And that was kind of stunning. D'Antona wouldn't talk to the media.
Yeah.
Jimmy was very quiet about talking to the media. They wouldn't. There was a difference in this. Is we just stay quiet, we're going to roll in.
And
we're
going to
take
I called both of them twice and tried to have them on here, and they wouldn't even return.
I tried also. We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more talking about the election with Eric and Woody.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.